Welcome aboard, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM, and thanks for listening today on this, the February the 24th of 2015. Got lots of, the studio's full of guests today. It's great. A lot of familiar faces, new faces. Guests have brought along some great music, and the first song here is by John Denver, and it's called Thank God I'm a Country Boy. I'll ask one of our guests, Stephanie, can you tell us about why you like this song and where did you first hear it?
I picked this song. Well, I was asked to sort of pick some songs on behalf of my dad. It's just a fun song, and it just talks about country living and country life. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right. We'll play that song. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in a sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun's setting low, pull out the fiddle and the rosin up the bow. Kids are asleep, so I keep a kind of low. And thank God I'm a country boy. Play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should, and thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. My life for diamonds or jewels. I never was one of them money-hungry fools. Rather have my fiddle and my farm and tools. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah, city folk driving in a black limousine. A lot of sad people think I'm nuts, I'm mighty keen. Son, let me tell you now exactly what I mean. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah. But my dad is till the day he died. And he took me by the hand, held me close to his side. Said to live a good life, play my fiddle with pride. And thank God, oh, a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on a fiddle. Taught me how to love and how to give just a little. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
A country boy,
Hi, I'm Helen Martin from Waterloo 4-H, and you are listening to The Agriculture Show in CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. And I just want to mention that my grandfather was the leader in starting 4-H in Waterloo County 100 years ago, and the family in each generation, it's been three generations now that have been involved in 4-H, and so remember to attend our big celebration on Saturday, June 20th at Steckley Heritage Homestead in Kitchener.
Okay, that's a great reading there from Waterloo 4-H, our 100th anniversary, and looking around the room today, a lot of people knew that was coming up, and hope you enjoyed that song selection. This is episode 109 We're going to talk a little bit about that song, but first of all, we'll do the useful thing this show. We're going to talk to our guests, who they are, what they do in agriculture, and our topic today is how to bring the message of agriculture to the public. So we'll start off first by introducing our guest today, and from my right to left, returning guest, Kelly Daynard. Hi, nice to see you, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
And you're still doing the same wonderful things over in Guelph?
I work for Farm and Food Care Ontario. We are an agricultural organization funded by Ontario's farmers and agribusiness with a number one mandate of trying to connect the public with where their food comes from. Okay. So I'm here today with the rest of your guests to talk about that.
And let's get to meet them. And next to her is Stephanie Snyder. And Stephanie was the one who picked out that great song for us to listen to. Thank God I'm a country boy. Who doesn't know that song? So Stephanie, where do you live and where do you call home?
So I live in New Hamburg, Ontario, and then I work for TD Bank as an agricultural relationship manager. So not milking cows every day at home, but certainly still on farm daily and really enjoying it.
Well, that'd be good, and we look forward to a little bit talking about your job there. And also with us today is Stuart Snyder. And Stuart, where do you live and what do you do for fun?
I live in New Hamburg also. We farm on Bleams Road, just out between Baden and New Hamburg. I'd be milking cows for I don't know how long, probably too long, but I'm also a licensed grain dealer and a seed salesman, so some days my plate's kind of full, but I thoroughly enjoy it, being involved in agriculture.
And just hats off to you, Stuart, for coming in today and taking time from a busy schedule. Talk a little bit about your and I favorite subject, which is agriculture, and we'll get in a later part of our show, we'll talk a bit more about this new initiative you've taken on with the farm and food care training and so on and so forth. So, Kelly, we kind of know what your job is about. You're busy being that liaison between producers and the public. Anything new there? Just encouraging farm people to continue getting the message out.
Yeah, it feels like our organization is always a new organization because there's always so much going on and changing. We are a 3-year-old organization, but we have a 25-year history. So we used to be known by two different group names, one called the Ontario Farm Animal Council and one called AgCare. One represented livestock farmers in Ontario, one represented crop farmers in Ontario. But we certainly realized a number of years ago that agriculture is such a small industry that why should we subdivide into those two different categories? So we became Farm and Food Care 3 years ago, January, and we are super excited. There are now Farm and Food Care starting to be formed all across Canada. We were at the launch of Farm and Food Saskatchewan in December. Farm and Food Care PEI hopes to be up and running by the end of this year. And if you invite me back in 10 years, if you're still doing this, I would hope I'd be able to say that there'll be Farm and Food Cares in every province by then.
That is some significant looking forward there, Kelly. Thanks for saying that.
Book me now.
and you're still calling Guelph your home?
Born and raised on a cash crop farm just outside of Guelph and still proud to be able to escape out there every chance I get.
And that sounds good. And Stephanie, you're tell us a little bit about what's involved in being a TD Bank specialist. Are you specializing in agriculture? Do you have to do?
Yeah, so I do just strictly agriculture. So I've been with the bank actually for about 11 years. I got into the bank through a TD 4-H scholarship, which was kind of cool because I was really involved in 4-H. So my job basically entails is that I manage a portfolio of agricultural customers who are borrowing. So they can be dairy farmers, any type of feather farmer, crop farmer, things like that. So really just working with them to get the financing that they need and then manage that relationship going forward.
It'd be nice to talk a little bit more maybe later on the show about, you know, what kind of funny questions do non-farmers ask you about agriculture?
Lots.
Do you tell them that cow tipping is a myth?
Yes, after I let them try, though.
It's in the book.
Actually, we'll get back to cow tipping. Let's not forget to bring that back. One of our resources today is an excellent booklet put out by Farm and Food Care about agriculture. And Stuart, you've listed so many things you're busy at in the day. How many cell phones do you have?
I only have one on the go, but if you want to go back to it, I probably got how many in the cupboard. The old big box phone was the very first one I had, and I remember it cost me $2,000 when I bought it. I don't know how many years ago. So,
So you're trying to sell grain, and also you're a seed salesperson.
Yes, I am.
And operating a dairy farm.
That's correct. And I thought of this farm and food care, and that's just something I should get into just so I can promote agriculture properly to the consumers.
And you know, as a farmer, you must really, you know, you've experienced all the time. Boy, some of the questions people ask, huh?
you wonder where they come from and what they're getting at and why they don't know any better sometimes.
And the good news is, after taking a course like speaking in public Farm and Food Cares course, you know what, the majority of people probably really do want to know what's going on. They just like a good straight answer, and that's how the job is done, isn't it?
And I think it's giving them a unified answer when we look at Farm and Food Care. It's giving them unified answers to their questions, which is good.
And it's nice to see someone appreciate that, you know, have they've learned something.
Very
and,
good.
And, you know, I'm sure you're looking forward to that kind of experience. So, that's been a quick introduction of our guests, and we'll probably play another song here. And I have a great big C lined up. And whose song was that?
Yep.
That was yours, Kelly?
Yeah, okay. It's Kelly here. That's I am a huge fan of Great Big C. They are about the only group I pay to go see in concert. I have seen them many times, and I could have picked any of their songs to play today, but this is Run, Runaway.
Okay, we'll play that. We'll be right back, folks. It's episode 1 of the Agriculture Show. You're on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. See you in a bit.
Lying there in the sun, all things to everyone, run, run away.
Hey! If you're in the swing,
money and everything.
If you're in the swing,
run, run away. See chameleon lying there in the sun, all things to everyone, run, run away.
Let's go!
Sus.
Don't beat around the bush.
If you got it, sus,
run, run away. See chameleon lying there in the sun. All things to everyone, run, run away. See chameleon lying there in the sun. All things to everyone, run, run away.
Finn Butte,
Rebecca Somerville. You are listening to
the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
We would like to invite you to the 100th anniversary celebration of Waterloo's 4-H. 4-H is great. That's a great word.
If you can't get the message down when it's 4-H is great, and that's a Waterloo Junior Farmer, Waterloo 4-H celebration. Actually, it's Junior Farmers, too, this year. I think of it.
100th of Junior Farmers,
yeah,
too, yeah.
Everybody's celebrating. Great time in Ontario. And I know that one of our guests here, Stuart, is also a 4-H member, because I, well, 4-H, but I remember you from Junior Farmers. A lot of good times. There's a reunion this year.
Many moons ago.
Yeah, and looking forward to that. I think that's in August or something that's planned. It'll be pretty good. So we're back to our second segment here, and we've got to know our guests a little bit, what they do and what they're busy at, and I'm going to ask Kelly to talk a little bit about what's changed from the last time she's been here. Particularly, I guess we'll talk about the new booklet, Real Dirt on Farming.
All right, I am really happy to talk about this booklet. I just said to Jeff I could talk for a long time about this booklet, but this booklet is called The Real Dirt on Farming. It is meant to be a one-stop shop, facts and figures about Canadian agriculture type of booklet. This is our third edition of the booklet. We publish it after every census on agriculture comes out. And so we did an edition in 2006 and one in 2010. This one just came out in November. The book has grown immensely since 2006. I remember back that year we printed 13,000 copies, and we were pretty excited when we were able to distribute those mostly across Ontario. By 2010, we had distributed 100,000 copies of that edition, and we're pretty proud of ourselves on that one. And our vision this year is to get 1 million copies of this booklet out across Canada. Every 4 years, we poll 1,200 Canadians from coast to coast, and we ask them what their top-of-mind questions are about food and farming. These are non-farming Canadians. Mm-hmm. And we rank their questions, their concerns, just the things that they would ask a Canadian farmer if they had a chance. And then we take this booklet and write it to answer their questions. So, you know, if you've got a question about GMOs, this is where you find it. If you've got a question about organic versus conventional production, this is where you find it. If you've got a question about why hens, most hens live in cages, this would be where you'd get your answers. It's not meant to be in-depth encyclopedia reading, just kind of a paragraph here or there that you could pick up and read and hopefully learn something and put back down. And, yeah, we're really proud of this book. We also ran a national photo contest this time for this booklet, mm-hmm. In the hopes of getting some new, fresh content. And I had thought if we got 100 photos, I'd be thrilled. And we got 659 photos from coast to coast to coast, which was just the images that came in. So every single image in this booklet is a fresh, new, beautiful farm scene that has not been seen before, which I just think adds a great new dimension to the booklet. So we're 125,000 copies into to distributing it. We have been so fortunate in fundraising that we've gotten funds to put a digest version of it in the Globe and Mail National Edition on March 28th. Yes, so we've got 305,000 copies of a 12-page version of it going out across Canada March the 28th, and we're really excited about that. And then we'll be distributing it at shows across Canada this year. So if you want to see it for yourself, the best place to go is realdirtonfarming.ca, where you can see a flip book or download the 2006, 2010, or the current version too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that, and all those booklets are there, and wow, 1 million copies, that would be quite impressive.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, we're hopeful, and there's certainly a need for this booklet. We were just talking off air, you know, there are, with less than 2% of our population that currently farms, people don't know who farmers are. I think I said it the last time I was on this show, where farmers are a very mysterious group of people. The urbanites know they exist, but they don't know where to find one, where to meet one. They may meet one at a farmer's market, but we really want to be that face of food and farming. And if you've got a question, I've always said, who better to answer questions about food and farming than farmers themselves? They're the ones who live this, breathe this, and know the answers. And we try to answer so many of those questions in this booklet.
Now, Stephanie's a perfect spot to be to find this book somewhat useful, I would think. Maybe not day to day, but you can probably appreciate the value of a booklet like this. Is this, would this be on the outside table on the TD Bank?
I'd love to put it there, for sure. a book like this, you know, I'm even thinking outside of my job and some of the volunteer stuff that I do. So I help with the Wilmot Ag Society, and we put mm-hmm. on the New Hamburg Fall Fair, so, you know, not a huge event, but we have a ton of people from New Hamburg and Baden who come out that even though they live right there on the outside, in the towns where the farming's all around them, it's amazing the people you meet who just don't know what farmers do and what they're about. And yeah, a book like this is exactly what would be wonderful to give them to say, here's sort of a snapshot of it, right? You know, I agree. The best person to talk to is a farmer themselves. And I don't think you'll ever find a producer who's not going to be willing to tell you what they do, right? It's not just their job. It's their livelihood and it's their life. So it's something that they're very passionate about. And yeah, that's who they should reach to first. But if this book is available for them, it definitely will do a good amount of promotion.
And so, Stuart, there you are at the end of the desk here, and you are, and in fact, are that farmer that they're looking for to speak about agriculture at a time. And so you've been doing a little bit of tell us about the course you took with Farm and Food Care. Maybe let's start there.
It was a day-long course that I took. When I saw the information come up out about it, I thought it was interesting, intriguing to me, because I wanted to learn more how to present properly to a consumer, because we do have to be careful that we don't say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it gets mistaken the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And with this course, I think it was very professionally done and exceptional job, and I encourage anybody to sign up for it, because it gives us a good uniform presentation of what we can do, how we can do it, and what should be said and done.
Mm-hmm. Because I think most people are kind of worried about, I don't want to speak in front of people, but people really do want to know.
You'd be surprised at people that do want to know. A simple example, when I was talking to an insurance agent one day, we got talking, he used to be a former manager of a Zaire's grocery store here in town, and we got talking with the dairy industry and things like that, and he had no idea what this little blue cow meant, what we were talking about in the dairy industry. And there was two chaps there. There was himself, and he was almost my age, and the other chap was a little younger from London, and they, hate to say it, I spent half an hour educating them on what this little blue cow was, and they were just amazed. So there are things there that we do have to tell our story.
So most of the time, you don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing. It's getting the right anything out there.
Getting anything out there, because the people are willing to be surprised if people are willing to listen.
Exactly. And this seems like that sometimes it's the thing's driven by a few, the minority, who are having an opinion, and that's fine. But the majority would really welcome a story like yourself, and through that, the booklet, The Real Dirt on Farming, great resources.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And the thing is, just find a farmer's daughters. Well, there's two of them sitting here in the room here with us, so they're the ones that can carry it on better maybe than we can. But
well, it's usually a group effort, and you know, just having the three of you here today and bringing some great music, so far so good, and we look forward to talking some more about this booklet and what you have to go through there to do it. But let's play another song. Now I have Jason Aldrin. Whose song is that one?
That was mine.
Oh, please, tell us about this one, Steph.
So it's called Amarillo Sky, which is obviously about Amarillo, Texas. Obviously, I'm way more proud of Canadian agriculture than American, but, you know, it's all the same thing. It's just a song that talks about a farmer's daily life and how they just have to, you know, keep at it through the good times and the bad times. And it's just a song that sort of really well captures what the farming life is all about. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we'll play that. And stay tuned. Stay locked in, folks. And we'll be right back with the Agriculture Show. See you shortly.
He gets up before the dawn, packs a lunch and a thermos full of coffee. It's another day in the dusty haze. Those burning rays are wearing down his body. And diesel's worth the price of gold. It's the cheapest grain he's ever sold. But he's still holding on. He just takes the tractor another round and pulls a plow across the ground. Sends up another prayer. He says, Lord, I never complain, I never ask why. Please don't let my dreams run dry. Underneath, underneath.
toll on his family. He stayed strong and carried on, just like his dad and granddad did before him. On his knees every night he prays, please let my crops and children grow. Sends up another prayer. He says, Lord, I never complain, I never ask why. Please don't let my dreams run dry. Underneath, underneath this Amarillo round, and he takes a tractor another round, another round. He says, I never complain, I never ask why. Please don't let my dreams run dry. Underneath, underneath this Amarillo sky.
This is Stephanie Seuss, and I'm from New Hamburg. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is
emblematic
of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
We just did that to trick you.
Thank you.
I just want to mention two folks. That was great. I just want to thank Kelly because she actually helped improve that, because I think I originally called it the primary producers, and Kelly correctly points out it should be the farmer producers. So you're helping
thank
all
you.
The time. We're doing stuff here. So, folks, just a little recap of what we've been at so far. We've met our three guests. Kelly's working for Farm Food Care. Stephanie's busy with the TD Banks doing agriculture loans. And Stuart's back at the farm doing farmer things like milking cows and selling seed corn and selling corn and grain. And then we talked a little bit more about their jobs. And Kelly told us a little bit more about this edition of the Real Dirt on Farming, version number 3, I think. And so we'll continue on with that discussion. Tell us some more about the Real Dirt on Farming.
Well, Stuart mentioned this course that he has just recently taken, and the course is being run today in Ilderton for a group of 20 farmers. But this is the first time that the Real Dirt on Farming booklet has gone beyond just one booklet. For years, we often get phone calls from farmers and from staff at agribusinesses saying, I've been asked to give a presentation to my local school class, Optimist Club, church group, you name it, and I'm not sure how to go about doing that. They're either, they've never given a presentation before, or they're worried they might say something wrong, which in my opinion would never happen.
That's true.
But, you know, they're just not sure about how to go about doing these presentations. So, and we get those calls all the time. So about a year ago, we started working on a presentation skills training, a Real Dirt on Farming speakers bureau, so to speak. And we rolled that out last November with 4 sessions in Ontario, and we're now offering sessions all across the province. The goal is to do 8 this winter and then a bunch more next fall. And the goal being to give farmers and agribusiness professionals who attend these workshops some presentation skills training, some professional presentations that they can use and adapt and make their own about the topics in this book, like food safety or farm animal care or farming in the environment, and then take them and go forth and tell their stories. So one of our Speakers Bureau graduates is actually speaking to a Kitchener Rotary Club tonight as an example. Another woman who took the course in November spoke to a Waterloo High School class a few weeks ago. They had seen Food Inc. before Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
A concerned parent suggest that maybe they hear the other side of the story, and we found one of our Speakers Bureau participants. And so we're offering the program in Ontario, but the exciting thing is that it's being run by the Farm and Food Care Foundation, which is our national foundation. So the first course is being offered in Saskatchewan tomorrow, in PEI next month, and we would hope again by the end of this year to have courses being offered in every province across Canada. So it's exciting to me to know that farmers in Waterloo region are getting the same resources that PEI potato growers and BC cattlemen are all getting, and hopefully going out and telling their stories to urban audiences who are hungry for the message. Every service club is always looking for speakers at their monthly meetings.
That's very true.
And we hope to find the farm professionals that are willing to go out and tell those stories. So that was the course that Stuart took, and if people are interested in learning about the upcoming courses we have available, they would go to farmfoodcare.org and click on our events section.
And the booklet is, so you teach them, and the booklet has all kinds of fun facts and figures in there. Jeepers, where do you see this program going? You can talk to service clubs, and you can talk to politicians, and you can talk to schools, and who's left? The hockey team?
If they want to hear it, we'd be happy to go. But, you know, one of the participants from a couple weeks ago has contacted his local Probus Club. They book their speakers 18 months in advance. So he's booked in for June 2016 and told me he'd need some copies of the booklet by them, which I told him we could probably make available. So our guarantee to people like Stuart when they take this course is when they line up those presentations, we'll provide them with copies of the booklet to leave with their audiences as a takeaway. And it's our thanks to them for being our farm team, so to speak. You know, we're giving them the resources, and then we want them to take it out and go forth. And whether it's 10 people around a church kitchen, or, you know, 25 kids in a classroom, or a 100-person Rotary Club, every single person telling this story about farming in Canada helps to make a difference.
Just think, Stephanie, I didn't keep track of it all, but you've been involved with kind of like media, how to get the message out there over the years. You mentioned 4-H and a bunch of things. What's it like when you try to get the message of agriculture across to friends? Do you speak to groups?
Yeah, I do. I'm just chuckling because driving into Waterloo today, I thought about how I went to Laurier. I'm the random agriculture person, and Kelly, I guess, who didn't go to Guelph. But in my kitchen, I had a sign on the wall that said, "If you ate today, thank a farmer." And it became this thing that people just knew that that's what I talked about. And my husband laughs. We were just away on a trip, and on our shuttle ride back to the airport, someone informed me that they heard I was from a dairy farm and said that cows are kept in cages. And so I started to correct them. And it was the whole ride, and my poor husband just turns around because he knows that once I get started, I'm pretty passionate about it. I've been involved. Like, I've worked at the Calgary Stampede on some contract things, doing agricultural education there. And really just through 4-H or the local Ag Society, wherever I get that opportunity, I like to promote that message. Dad talked about the blue cow, and I actually had it on my wedding favors because I thought there's a couple hundred people who'd go home and have to know what the blue cow's all about.
It's too bad because years ago at a public school in New Hamburg, we had to take a calf in for show and tell, and I think we probably owned the only cow that had stepped feet on Laurier soil here. Steph had to show everybody how to milk a cow. Well, we had to put a cow in a trailer and bring her into the town and let her walk around. So
yeah, it turned a lot of heads that day.
It
was a course where you had to teach them how to do something, and I thought, I don't really know what else. And so I said, you know, I think Mom and you and Martin, my brother, brought this cow in, and we stood on the grass between the seminary and the one library building, and yeah, turned a lot of heads and taught this class. I mean, even my professor, he was like just totally enthralled in the fact that there was a live cow. And what do you mean? How do you milk it? And what about this? And it was just, it was amazing. It was a fun day.
And there's a spot there where the grass is even a little greener today.
you were onto something way ahead of your time by doing that. What a great effort you made to do that in one day in, way back in the, when agriculture was still just like, well, we don't really care what those guys are doing so much, but hunger back then. So, but it, so the message has always been very welcome, and the latest initiatives are because some parts of the message are getting really strident and just alarmist, and the kind of stuff that you hear on popular media. So, this is the taking the course, I guess, is just a great way to, you know, be prepared for that kind of. It's the odd one where you get this crazy attack, and Kelly's suggestion. Now, you have a great series on the YouTube with on advocates. You want to talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, we do have a YouTube channel with about 150 different videos on there, and a lot of them come from our virtual farm tour website, virtualfarmtours.ca. We call that the online tour without getting your boots dirty, because we certainly can't take every person in Ontario or in Canada to a farm to show them around in person. So we have filmed 27 Ontario farms and put them online. A couple of them are from Waterloo County, thanks to Wolf and Lynn Strensky from Maryhill, who opened up their dairy farm for us a few years ago to do some filming of one of the dairy farm tours. But anyway, those tours, we get about 300,000 visitors to those tours. Those tours every year, and we've taken all the videos from them, and you know, on how to milk a cow and how to gather eggs and how to trim goats' hoofs and how to spray and all of that from all of our different virtual farm tours, and we've put them on our YouTube channel, and we get a lot of hits from there, and it's just another great way of making agriculture, opening the barn doors, I guess would be the way to describe it. You know, showing that we are transparent. We have nothing to hide. We're proud of what we do in this industry, or we wouldn't be in it. And yeah, opening the barn doors virtually for people who can tour farms from the comfort of their computer.
Mm-hmm. Boy, did you ever think, Stair, you were almost a pioneer in getting across messages to agriculture with a wonderful story about taking an animal to the Laurier campus. And here you are still helping out the industry by taking the latest courses in how to bring the message to agriculture. So you're a trendsetter.
I just think it's something, if we believe in what we're doing, we've got to tell people what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And if we don't believe in it, then hey, why are we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you stop and think, what is it, 1 in 9 jobs is related to agriculture? And I just read an interesting fact the other day. It may hit home to some people, but we're losing so much farmland to development these days. And I read somewhere, and I'm assuming these numbers are right, but if 350 acres, we're losing 350 acres a day in Ontario.
Mm, heard that, yeah.
And of that 350 acres, if you grow barley on that, and maybe you can relate to it, Jeff, 350 acres of barley would produce over 350,000 cases of beer.
Yeah, so, I would know that from having been out with you a few times.
Right? It could be.
Those are the kind of fun facts and figures that go over pretty good. So. I think, thank you for mentioning that. So you'll do well at this stuff, I think, Stuart, and you've shown a high level of professionalism for your industry, because it's great to be a great cow farmer, and it's great to be a great crop grower, but it's that level of professionalism you need to be able to speak about your industry too. So congratulations on being a part of that process. And
I'm looking forward to enjoying it. So,
how many classmates did you guys go through at the course that go out? Is there 20 of you people, or how many?
There was about 22 or something there that day. And what I find interesting, I was very fortunate that day that there are a fair number of them from the other provinces. They were all in town, and it was very interesting to meet them and see what their intentions were to go forward in their own home provinces.
Did you hear any kind of cool ideas about, you know, remember they used to have that thing where you have the cow calf would poop in a skid, and whoever would guess where
cow bingo.
Did you hear any other cool ideas when you were talking to your fellow classmates about bringing their culture out to people?
They were just very keen on the booklet and the work that Kelly has done with the program, and just jumping at the gun to get back home and be the pioneers in their provinces to get something started.
Yeah. And probably meet a new bunch of quick friends in a short time.
That's true.
So you at the Guelph one, there was people from other provinces there?
Yes, there were. I think six or seven gals there from across the country.
Mm-hmm. These are the women who are going to be teaching or facilitating the courses in their provinces.
All right.
So we had people in from BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Prince Edward Island. So those were the provinces that have organizations that have said we will champion this program in our provinces. So we brought a facilitator in from each of those provinces, and Stuart was at one of their sessions. And then 2 days later in Rostock, they helped to give the course. And like I had said earlier, they are now starting to give the courses to farmers and agribusiness professionals in their own provinces, which is so exciting for us.
And is there a similar program around the world? Are we a leader right here, or how does this fit in the American?
It would be nice to think so. I don't know of anything similar that's going on. We have close working relationships with organizations in the U.S. They do a lot of farmer training like we do. The Center for Food Integrity in the U.S. does something called Engage Training, where they encourage farmers to get engaged in telling their stories. It's something similar, but this is the first initiative that we know of like this in Canada for sure.
And we'll mention in the last segment in a few minutes, but basically, if they were to give you a call about the Speakers Bureau, and you would be able to help a group that was, one of our listeners or hopefully our good neighbors from the city, and they would say, wow, I'd like to know more about that. And they could phone you up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we've got, we've been organizing courses across the province, but we've also had a bunch of the Federations of Agriculture come to us. Bruce County is having one next week and say, we would like to sponsor a Speakers Bureau training session in Concardin, as an example, on March the 9th. So they are taking the lead on it. They're hosting it. And we're just sending our facilitator, which is also great community engagement. So, but certainly if groups are interested in having a speaker come to talk to one of their groups, we'd love to help set them up, and they could contact us through that realdirtonfarming.ca website. I should mention that public speaking isn't for everybody. And, I hear a lot of farmers who say that they would rather have root canals or go through plane crashes than have to talk publicly. And that's important to note that, public speaking is not for everybody. But I think that this book has proved that there is a way of getting your message out, even if you don't want to get up in front of your local chamber of commerce and do a talk. And I had a gentleman come up to me at the Ontario Federation of Agriculture meeting this year. He looked like Santa Claus. He was from Eastern Ontario, just a gem of a guy. And he said, so you need to know you're never going to get me to one of your sessions. And I said, it's totally okay. But he says, I'll tell you what I do. He says, I keep a box of them in my car. And every time I go into my chiropractor office, my doctor's office, my dentist office, I make sure that their waiting room has a copy. That's his contribution to getting the word out, which is awesome. I have another guy who flies fairly often, so he keeps a copy, and he puts it in the seat pocket in front of him on the plane. Oh, yeah. He said it's subversive. He doesn't know if they're still there by the next flight, but he thinks that he's making a difference, and I think that's awesome too. So whether you're interested in public speaking or not, I think everybody has a role to play in telling this story about agriculture.
I'm still in awe of the fact that you met Santa Claus.
I don't, practically.
Awesome.
He looked just like him. He was a great guy.
So I think the next song here is by Garth Brooks. That's one of your selections, Kelly. Tell us about it.
It's called Unanswered Prayers, and I just really like the meaning and the story behind this song. It basically says that you can wish for something really hard, and it doesn't happen, but that still could be the right thing to do. And just because you desperately want something in your life doesn't mean it's the right time. I mean, I look at, the careers I thought I would be working in back in the day and that I dreamed of working in, and now I can't think of anything better than working for Farm and Food Care. So just because something doesn't happen when you wish for it doesn't mean it wasn't, something better isn't coming along. That's kind of the theme of this song.
That's a really good explanation. I like that. Okay, stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with a wrap-up. It's the Agriculture Show, episode 109. At CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM in beautiful uptown Waterloo, 108 King Street North. See you shortly.
Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, And each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. 'Cause some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell the time changed me in her eyes too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days, there wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, well, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, and just because he may not answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are all too often unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
This is Stuart Snyder from New Hamburg. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of the society.
Thanks, Stuart. And I think that's exactly what we've done here today with your presence here and Kelly and Stephanie. And so we'll just do a little wrap-up of our show. There's always so much more we could talk about, but we should probably think about, make sure we get our message across what we've done already. So right off the bat, I learned about Kelly. She's still living in Guelph and working hard with Farm and Food Care. How many years have you been doing that now?
Funny you should ask. Monday is my 10th anniversary.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Yeah.
And Stephanie, born and raised on a dairy. By the way, we have two dairy farmers' daughters and a farmer here, so we got real goods, the real deal. Stephanie is a farmer's daughter and grew up on a farm in New Hamburg and milk cows and involved in stuff, and now professionally as a bank. What's your title at the bank?
Technically, my title is a relationship manager.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's an account manager type role.
Yeah.
There's different names for it.
Well, if it's a small branch, it probably means you wear many hats.
Yes.
Somebody's away on vacation, you probably have to jump in and do stuff like that. And so a full career there and still involved in agriculture. And Stuart, very busy doing all kinds of stuff. You want to promote any seed sales or anything like that? You're more than welcome now. Is it Pioneer Seeds you're selling?
Oh, come on. think I'll leave right now, Jeff. So.
Well, we want to make sure our guests get something from our show for their own benefit, too, if it's of use.
I am a Syngenta seed salesman.
Syngenta,
so,
yeah, okay.
Syngenta, so you know, Northrop and Novartis, I guess we'll call it also.
Well, I've had those guys. I've actually had some Syngenta folks on my show, and it was great. And just like yourself, real people doing real jobs with a real message about agriculture. So it's not... It's a good thing. So, buying and selling grain and milking cows. So you're a busy guy, and a little bit about those jobs. And then we spent a couple of our sessions or our segments talking about The Real Dirt on Farming, a great booklet. This is the third iteration of this booklet, gone from 600 copies to 100,000 to 1 million this year. We're hoping. What a great idea to have something in the Globe and Mail and some of the major newspapers in Canada. We didn't get to the fun part of that booklet there. You guys, is cow tipping fact or fiction? Kelly, is it fact or fiction?
Well, according to researchers at the University of British Columbia, it is fiction. So the dairy farmers in the room can confirm or deny that, but the researchers at UBC basically said it was not possible unless the cow really wanted to be tipped. And that made us laugh, and we certainly want to fill this booklet with a little bit of humor as well as the serious part of agriculture, and so there are some fun facts like that in there as well. Do you want to confirm or deny the cow tipping?
You did very well.
See, they can be tipped with the assistance of a vet.
There's a whole good show. People would like to know how that would work. In fact, you're right. It can be tipped with the help of a veterinarian. In the book, that also is a little bit about cow igloos and giant marshmallows. What would that be about? If you look in handy dandy book.
We get a lot of calls with questions about calf hutches, and people don't know what cow hutches are. They, they'll drive by and see these cow igloos, as they call them, outside a dairy farm barn, and they wonder what they are, or the giant marshmallows, which of course are we all know as wrapped bales. But a person driving down the highway that doesn't have a farm background would not know what that is. So we're trying to, again, dispel some myths, answer some common questions, both the lighter ones and the heavier ones. So anyway, cow igloos is a common question that we get asked. We run a farm animal helpline where people can call in, and they may have concerns about farm animals that they see driving down a country road, and we'll send somebody out. We want to be that farmer helping farmer. But a lot of times it's just education to the person who's making the call. So yes, cows can be outside in the winter if they have access to feed and water and shelter, things like that. So the cow igloo one is one we get a lot of calls about.
And one last one for fun on that topic is, how many curions per acre are there in a field of soybeans? And if you look in your handy dandy booklet on page 14, you'll see halfway down. You got a booklet there, Stuart?
Oh, yes. One acre of soybeans.
Oh, Stuart, yeah. How many? Stuart?
Oh, you're going to guess?
No, Stuart, no. You got the book there, don't you, Stuart?
Yes, I do.
Okay, how many bushels? How many crayons are there in an acre of soybeans? Well, halfway down the page.
82,368 crayons.
All right.
From one acre of soybeans.
And that's the kind of fun figures that are in this booklet, folks. And I hope you get a copy and have a listen to that. It's all great fun. And so anything else we should be talking about today? You got a whole bunch of presentations you're doing, Kelly. You're probably going to spend the rest of the year just flying around and putting on more of these workshops, right?
Yeah, we have a great facilitator named Bernard Tobin that has been running the workshops for us. He has been a really busy guy. If you want to do a mini version of the Speakers Bureau training, I will put in a plug. Our annual meeting is the evening of April the 14th and all day on the 15th. We have an amazing lineup of speakers, including Bernard Tobin, who will be doing an evening workshop, a mini version of the Speakers Bureau training the night of the 14th. It's in Milton, and all the details are at farmfoodcare.org. The next day, we have three amazing farmer advocates coming and participating on a panel. We have a woman who's known across North America as Dairy Carrie. She's from a dairy farm in Wisconsin. She's flying in. We have a woman named Sarah Schultz, who is a grain farmer from Alberta. She goes by the Twitter handle Nurse Loves Farmer. And then we have our own Andrew Campbell here in Ontario. He goes by the handle Fresh Air Farmer. And the three of them are going to be talking on a panel called The Good, the Bad, and the the Ugly, talking about some of their social media successes, some of the challenges, and the ways that they reach out to telling their story to non-farming public. So the Speaker Spiro the night before, those three amazing farmers on a panel the next day, April the 14th and 15th, and more details on our website.
Perfect. And that's farmandfoodcare.org?
.org, exactly.
Okay. Yep. And Stephanie, what would you be doing on a Tuesday afternoon if you weren't here at the radio show? You'd be at the branch and busy, I guess?
Took a vacation day, had a couple other things to do as well. But yeah.
And what are you looking forward to this this year coming up? Are you doing some presentations about agriculture? Are you you must be have so much on the go, I don't know where to start, but what do you hope to accomplish this year?
Well, in a couple months I hope to successfully have my baby, which I'm sure will keep me quite busy for a while.
Yeah, that's probably enough.
But yeah, but I am still staying involved with 4-H as well as our local fair board, and yeah, doing whatever I can.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a New Hamburg Fair. That's they're probably already planning that, aren't they?
Yeah, we've got planning well underway. So
And Stuart, yourself, what are you guys? What were you going to do today that you didn't do because you came to the show? Are you gathering up all your seeds for the customers and making sure all the cattle are looked after?
I actually have a load of seed coming in tomorrow that I've got to make some room in the shed for it. So the shed's too full right now with some other stuff. I got to reorganize. So I got some room for it. So. I'll get home yet this afternoon, look after that yet, be ready for tomorrow morning. So
you got to reorganize a bunch of stuff in the shed. You must be an expert at Tetris, you know, where you have to put those blocks in and drop down and organize all those sorts of things.
Just keep pushing into the corners till the walls push out. So,
well, I want to do, first of all, is we have one last song we want to play, and we'll play it on the way out, but we'll have a few, just a bit more for that. Whose selection was Joe Diffel?
That was, again, my selection on behalf of my dad. Dad's a big John Deere fan. We never really had anything red at home. Maybe a few pieces. But, yeah, so I just thought it was quite fitting, the John Deere green song.
Yeah. Okay, so, but once again, folks, I mean, thanks for coming out, you guys. This has been a great day. We had a lot of fun. I know time goes by pretty quick, and there's no end to what we could talk about. But once again, thanks very much, Kelly and Stephanie and Stuart, for coming out today. And if you think of any other good speakers, we're more than glad to have. In fact, I'm looking for more co-hosts as well. So if you're really inclined, we could do that from, you know, when you're having your baby or something. You know. Anyway, so that's our show today, folks. Thanks for listening in. That's episode 109. And just thanks again, Kelly.
Thank you, Jeff, for having us.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Jeff.
Good to see you, Stuart. Okay. This is episode 109. And if you wait this week, thank a farmer. And we'll see you next week. Bye for now.